when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning. Good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in this land, wherever you are in the, anywhere in the world, you're listening to Eddie the Bombardier Miller. You're listening to this is Blood River Radio. We sure are excited about doing another show. We've got a great show tonight. But you know, by the way, it is last day in July. It's according to this beat up calendar I got, it says it's July the 31st in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we always say here, there's only one name under the sun which men can be saved, and that's the Jesus Christ Almighty, who died for our sins on the cross while we were yet sinners. That's right. And by the way, tonight, before I start reading, you know what we always do? We always go to prayer. We say a scripture. We have a pastor on the line tonight. We'll introduce in a minute. I'm just going to do a little bit different. I'm going to read from a Catholic Bible because we have a dear listener and supporter who asked would I read something from the Catholic Bible. So I'm going to. And also, I've got side by side with my trusty King James. So I'll read the scripture too, and then a pastor is going to say the prayer. So if you will, before I do that, we're going to get a little bit out of order before I do the scripture. We've got to make these quick notices. Where did I put it? Right here. Let's see. The donors. Oh, here we go. Right over here. Because it's a little bit, we're a little off tonight. We have one of our rock solid donors by the name of Alan in Florida, and he supported me big time. Were it not for people like Alan, I could not have gone down to Pensacola to be with the sailors from USS Ship Liberty. We're going to be on the road. That'll be over Labor Day weekend. And I did have those dates written right here, but it'll be let me go right over here with the calendar. It will be, we'll talk about this more later, September the 3rd, 4th, and 5th, I'm going to be in Harrison, Arkansas with a Knights Congress up there. We'll talk more about that tonight. Listen, also, the week after that, that'll be November the 7th, I think the 6th and the 7th. No, excuse me. Let me look back at my calendar again, folks. Let me get back over here. September the 10th and the 11th, I'll be in down in Alabama speaking to the League of the South. And hopefully we'll fire things up down there, get them out of their slumber. But anyway, what else? On October the 25th, I'll be back in Charlottesville. Unless something changes, Dr. Hill, the League of the South, and Michael Tubbs got to go back to Charlottesville for the trial. So I'll go up there. We'll be broadcasting up there as much as we can. Sam said he can carry us for a few minutes each day. So that's pretty much the announcements. Now, folks, you know the drill. We do our scriptures. So if you will, we're going to start off with the King James Bible first. We're in the Gospel of John, first chapter, start of verse 6. the true light. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. You keep that in mind, folks. We all know who rejected Jesus Christ, and they still do. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Okay, people, I read that. That's the trusty King James. Now I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to do what I told our supporter we would do. I'm going to read, where's my bookmarker right here? I was just telling Pastor before the break that two of the last scriptures sermon that I'm looking for my notes right here. The last sermon that Martin Luther gave before he died, he preached two verses, and one of them was Psalm 68:19. So to honor our supporter who wanted me to do that to read of the Catholic Bible, here it goes. This is the new. Let's see. It's a great big huge Bible I got here. The New American Bible Catholic Edition. Here we go. This is Psalms 69:19. It says, "You have ascended on high, taking captives, received men of gifts, even rebels. The Lord God enters his dwelling." Okay, that's right after the Catholic Bible. I'll go over here and read this. Everybody knows this one. Keep in mind, these are the two scriptures that Martin Luther himself, the guy who started the Protestant Reformation, preached in his last sermon. And everybody knows John 3:16. This is out of the Catholic Bible. He told those who were selling doves, wait a minute, get them up. Hey, I'm in the wrong. Let me look back over here. Let's see. This is Gospel according to John. The Gospel according to John. Look over here. Here we go. Huh. Well, I don't know. Something went wrong, but I'll just quote it. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And I found that verse in that Bible just a minute ago. Oh, what went wrong then? My incompetence. Well, people, with that, thank you for suffering through me for my poor reading of these scriptures. Now we're going to introduce our first guest tonight. He's Pastor Thomas Robb. He is the National Director of the Knights Party of the Ku Klux Klan, headquartered over in Harrison, Arkansas, and he is a pastor, and we're going to bring him on right now. And Pastor has agreed very graciously to say the prayer for us, Blood River Radio, Liberty News Radio, and all of our listeners and family. Go ahead, Pastor. Briefly introduce yourself. Tell them who you are, and you can go ahead and say the prayer.
Sure. I am, as you said, Pastor Thomas Robb with the Knights Party, but I'm also pastor of the Christian Revival Center in Harrison, Arkansas, and we hold church every Sunday, and we, of course, have our conferences. We put out newspapers, and we try to do whatever we can to reach the heart of our people. So, anyway, you asked me to open with a word of prayer, so I will like to do that now. And we ask this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, the one and only God, who paid the price of redemption by his shed blood in Calvary. And we ask blessings upon this radio show, not just this program tonight, but all programs in the future. And we ask blessings upon all those people throughout this land and throughout Europe and all those representing the blood of our people, to just bless upon them and all their endeavors. We ask blessings upon all those who are listening, that they'll have ears to hear what is being said today, and God will speak into their heart. We ask a blessing upon those who go to Charlottesville to stand this trial, and I believe later on in October. We ask blessings upon them and for their safety and for a great outcome. And we ask the blessings upon all those whose hearts and ears are listening to this broadcast, and that you will touch their hearts and you will help them awaken a spirit in them, and that they will take that awakening and proclaim what we like to call a message of white Christian revival to the nation. So we ask you to bless this blessing upon all our people. We ask Jesus Christ to bless all our people in our endeavor to awaken our nation, and we ask in the name of the blessed name of Jesus Christ, the one and only God of the universe. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen to that, Pastor. That is so wonderful. Also, I'm just going to mention that tell our listening audience out there, I don't want to forget to mention to Jay that we had a caller that called me today, or I talked to him. He said that they couldn't call in the listener line last week, so I will get Jay to see if he can fix that listener line. I have no idea which listener line it is because I'm a low tech. But also, just as an aside, what we're doing tonight, Pastor, is as we talked on the phone, this is the first installment. We're going to do this about 3 weeks because of what I call the Battle of Charlottesville. Will be, let me see, today's the 31st. It is going to be a week ago from this coming Thursday. It'd be August the 12th. And so it'll be a week from next Thursday. So it's bearing down on us. And you know, that was a watershed. The Battle of Charlottesville was a watershed movement in the history of this country right here. I want you to know. So we're going. There's a lot going on. This is going to be a historical program, and we're going to talk about. We're going to get pretty deep talking about, you know, what significance it had on the white people, the whole country, specifically white Christians. What significance it had that day, that week, 4 years later. What significance it's going to have 10 years from now that we can think about. Also, there were other battles that preceded the Battle of Charlottesville. For instance, I never even heard about the Battle of Chicago until I went up to the Knights Council the first Labor Day, I guess it was 2019. I can't keep track anymore. But I found out that Pastor Rob was there in Chicago. He'd been to New York. And I call it the Battle of Chicago. So we're going to talk about the historical significance of the Chicago he's also Washington, D.C., the Battle of Chicago, the Battle of Washington, D.C., the Battle of Charlottesville, and the battle recently of Washington, D.C. We're going to try to link all that in together. What similarities do they have? What commonalities do they share? What do they mean to this country? And I'm just laying the table right now to you people that you'll know what we're doing. Anybody wants to call in? The questions we ask tonight, the stuff we talk about tonight, it's going to be pretty much the same for about 3 weeks. We're going to have a lot of other great guests on that have children that are in prison because of there. We're going to have some parents on that have children in prison. They were only 18 years old when they were arrested. When we come back, we're going to go straight back to Pastor Rob. He's going to take off on the Battle of Chicago and the Battle of Washington, D.C. Be right back, people. Hold on to your seats.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Well, dear people, thank you so much for holding on. Like I said, we have Pastor Thomas Robb on. He was at political battles like Charlottesville, way yonder before Charlottesville happened. So go ahead, Pastor. Tell us all about the Battle of Chicago when you were there with the Klans. Go ahead. Tell us all about it.
Well, you know, that was before the Internet, and it was before cell phones. Camera phones, and so the publicity was more, did not gain the publicity that maybe, obviously, Charlottesville did. And, of course, part of the reason Charlottesville gained so much publicity was because Donald Trump made reference to it. And so that, of course, gained a lot of publicity over there because of the efforts of the globalists and the communists to discount Donald Trump and tie him into white supremacy and white nationalist groups and so on. So because of Donald Trump being in the White House and the desire to minimize his impact, they thought by tying him in with white nationalists, it would disqualify him in the minds of many people, but of course it did not. And so that's part of the reason why Charlottesville, in my mind anyway, part of the reason why Charlottesville became such a rallying point for many people, because of the fact of the age in which it was now in, cell phones, the internet, and so on. So it was able to be, what happened was able to talk,
I don't know what the world that is,
more widely than prior to that. Because prior to that, our organization, well, I'm sure perhaps others, I can't speak on others, but, you know, we had our situation in Chicago, which occurred, I'm not even sure when it happened. I think it was sometime in the early, about 95, 96, 97, somewhere, I'm not even sure. You got to remember, we held so many rallies and events, as you saw through those publications my son and daughter sent you. We held so many rallies and were traveling on the road so much that it may sound strange to say this, but it was just like another day at work. It was like, wow, this is a big deal, and it became like one important event in our life. It was just another day at work.
Hey, Pastor, hold on
a second. That rally there, or in the sedition trials, the rallies we held in the sedition trials. A lot of people don't even know what the sedition trials were that occurred in 1987. But that was, again, before the internet, before cell phones and so forth. And then, of course,
there was a
disturbance that occurred in Hannibal, Missouri in 1981, I think it was, maybe 82, in which protesters came there and created quite a scene, and I don't want to call it rioting.
Hey, Pastor, can you hear me?
Pastor. I sure can.
Oh, I'm going to ask Jay. We're having some kind of hellacious, weird noise on the line. Jay, are you there? Oh, it is. It's on his end? Okay. Hey, Pastor, we're having some kind of horrible noise. Jay said it's coming from your end. I thought maybe Paul Fromm was trying to call in or something. I didn't know. We're getting.
No, I'm on. I'm here.
Oh, Paul.
I hear that noise, but there's no noise.
Okay.
In my mat.
Paul, excuse me, but it's just sound like the demons from hell are being executed or something. Whatever you're doing, Paul, please try to keep that noise down because, mute your phone if you will, Mr. Paul Fromm, because we can't hardly get the pastor. This is coming out of hellacious noise. So if you will, Paul, mute your phone and we wave you back in. We'll have Jay wave you in. So go ahead, Pastor. Continue on.
Okay. Well, I changed my phone also from a speakerphone to just direct into the mic. So maybe that would help if it was my end. I don't know.
You're fine now. I think it was coming from Paul Fromm's end. Go ahead.
Well, I'm putting it back in a speakerphone because it's easier for me that way. And if you find it's recurring, then just holler out. But I'm not sure. I was just mentioning that, things change. The internet changed everything. And a lot of new people who weren't around or weren't active prior to the internet, they don't understand the impact the internet had in everything we do. When we held events back prior to the internet, we would put a banner held behind our speaker, just hoping that somebody would get on. They put it right behind us. We put it right behind us, but the speaker would be myself, as obviously. And so when the news would make a report on it, people see our address, and hope then that sometime they'll hit replay because that facility was able to be usable at the time. So, but prior to the internet, you know, in cell phones, it was hard. It was difficult. People, so when events could have happened, like the in Hannibal, Missouri, where, you know, Rachel was there, Nathan and my son and Jason, and they took the tube of lipstick away from Rachel because they said she might use it as a weapon, and yet the protesters with baseball bats, with signs using as sticks, they were able to be there. So they're protesters, so they were there with their baseball bats with a sign on top, you know, anti-Klan signs, and that was permissible, but Rachel's lip gloss was taken away because they said that she might use it as a weapon. So silly things happen, you know, unfortunately, silly things happen, and sometimes the police get caught up into it, and they're, you know, they don't know what to do. They've got their bosses standing over them, and they may be doing things that they don't feel in their gut is right, but nevertheless, they do. So I don't know how that relates to anything about Chicago, you know, but Chicago, that was in 1996, 97. Like I said, it was just another day at work. You know? So when these events happened, we didn't, like, say, wow, this is a big deal. Were you there? Like, that was just... It was just another day at work because we were traveling. I was traveling a lot for 20 years in the early 80s, on through the 90s, into 2000. Well, the internet changed all that. The internet changed all that. And so, but we went to Chicago, 15 of us. And when we held rallies, when the Knights Party held rallies, we didn't try to bring in a bunch of people. We didn't want a bunch of people we didn't know. We didn't want a bunch of people that were not trained. Because we choreographed everything. We choreographed our rallies. And I know people say, well, what do you mean choreographed our rallies? Well, that's maybe talking about a subject, I suppose. But and so we took 15 people. They're usually the number we took. And we had our arrangements made with the, it was in, what was it? John Daly Park or Daly Park Plaza, Daly Plaza, downtown Chicago. And we arrived there we had two vehicles, and one was a van, and we were crowded, of course. And so we pulled up to the rally site. We didn't pull up to it, but we passed by it. We saw what we were facing, and a lot of protesters, and in an area that we assumed would be contained, but we of course didn't know, and so we pulled around back, so we thought it would be not as obvious as we approached our rally. We had banners, we had flags, we had a speaker system, PA system. In some of the early rallies I spoke at, we tried to speak through like bullhorns and so forth, and I thought, oh, I'm not going to do that any longer. So we acquired a powerful speaker systems because I thought, if there's going to be protesters there and they're going to be screaming and hollering, they're not going to out-scream us or out-holler us. We're going to blast them, you know. So we carried large speakers with us. I mean, speakers that had two people to carry, and one speaker, we usually carry two of them. And so we set up speakers, We had these things so we could outperform the protesters. And not that we always did it, of course, you know, but that was our intention. And so we played around back and we unloaded and started walking towards it. And then out from nowhere came, I don't want to call them protesters. They weren't protested. They were assailants. They came to attack. They came to town. And it ensued into a skirmish right there immediately.
Pastor, we have to go to a break. We're going to go to the break at the bottom of this hour. We'll be right back, and I'll have a few questions asked, but I'm not going to interrupt you. I want you to keep rolling because you only have 1 hour, he said. People will be right back. We're going to listen to Pastor Rob, and pretty soon we'll bring in Paul Fromm. So hang on to your seats. Be right back.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Mike Fortier.
Notes taken from a phone call appear to show former President Trump pressuring Justice Department officials to publicly question the results of the 2020 election. New York Democratic Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney yesterday releasing handwritten notes taken by a DOJ official during a December 2020 call with him, Trump, and former Acting Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen. According to the notes, Trump told Rosen to say the election was corrupt and leave the rest to me, that being Trump. Texas Republican Congressman Jake Elsie sworn in yesterday after a runoff election to become the newest federal lawmaker. Elsie on CBS News discussing his legislative priorities.
I'd like to see hard work on keeping our military more combat effective instead of worried so much about social issues. But also as a congressman now from Texas, securing the southern border, which is a national security issue and a humanitarian issue.
Elsie replacing Ron Wright, who died in office in February. This is USA Radio News.
The best companion a pillow has ever had. You've heard me talking about Mike Lindell's Giza Dreams bed sheets now for a couple of years. They're the perfect companion to the MyPillow, made with the world's best cotton called Giza, grown only in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River. Its long staple cotton makes it ultra soft and breathable. And just like the MyPillow, there's a 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty. Try it for yourself. Mike Lindell and I promise you'll sleep better or you get your money back. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, use my promo code USA. You'll get 2-for-1 pricing plus free shipping, but only by using my promo code USA. Or call 1-800-951-8175 and ask for the Giza Dream Sheets special. And the promo code USA gets you up to 66% off the entire line of MyPillow products. Sleep better with the Giza Dreams bed sheets and save at MyPillow.com. Promo code USA.
Some surprising information coming from a new COVID study. The CDC announcing yesterday that almost 75% of over 400 people infected in a recent outbreak in Massachusetts were vaccinated. The study also finds vaccinated people who are infected have just as much of the virus in their noses as the unvaccinated. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky telling Fox News yesterday, as challenging as the Delta variant is, it's still beatable.
I continue to be humbled by this virus. I have no interest in continuing mask guidance. And the best way to stop a new variant from spreading is to have less virus out there. And the best way to do that is to get people vaccinated and to mask up until they are.
That study of the Massachusetts outbreak also finds symptoms were reported in 80% of the breakthrough cases. Five people were hospitalized, including four who are fully vaccinated. Of those four, two have underlying medical conditions. Efforts to extend a federal eviction moratorium fail. House Democrats fall short of the votes needed to extend the moratorium before today's deadline. The House now in recess for 6 weeks. This is USA Radio News.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Well, I think we done scared all those punks out there with Clint Eastwood with that 44. But we're going to go right back to Pastor Rob, and he was giving us an in-depth detail scenario on what happened in Chicago. And he was also in Washington, D.C., I think even before Chicago. He was, I think, 1982, he told me he was in Washington, D.C. So go ahead, Pastor, continue on.
Well, excuse me. So, we arrived there. We unloaded our speakers, and we set some flags, and we were pounced upon pretty quick, and into a melee. And I'm a short, small guy. I got thrown down to the ground pretty quick, you know, by a big old black guy. And
that ain't what I heard. I heard you were like a bulldog. Well, go ahead, Pastor.
You know, it depends how you want. I might have been a bulldog, but I was a bulldog that's surrounded by 100 other bulldogs, and so I was a lone bulldog about myself. You know, there was probably 75 or 100 people that attacked us. R15. I'm basing that upon. I had an interesting discussion actually, and I have a copy of the recording. I put my hands on it, but about 2 weeks after this occurred, I got a phone call from, about 2 weeks after it occurred, I got a phone call from a person who was one of the protesters, not one of the people that attacked us, but one of the protesters, and He said, and he said that he was appalled by those who attacked us. Even though he was a protester, he was appalled by those who attacked us. And I actually had a sit-down interview with him in Chicago shortly after that. And he said that the police were there prior to our arrival, and then just as we arrived, he said the police always retreated and disappeared. And he said, I thought that was strange. And then it was shortly after that when we got all attacked. And then after we got attacked, then the police came back in after. So I don't know whose direction they were under. But, yeah, I got beaten pretty bad, you know, thrown to the ground and got this boot party on me. And Jason, who was, I told Jason, Jason carried a video camera, and I wish he would have videotaped stuff. And, but he put the video camera down and took one of the poles, clothes pole, you know, they're like an inch and a half thick. And the one black guy who was kicking me, he broke it over his head. So that guy got kind of a pretty good whop by Jason. And it broke the 1.5 inch, 1.25, whatever the size they are. They're pretty good size. Broke it over his head. So he got a sore dog in there for a while. Maybe not. I don't know. He was a black guy. Maybe he never felt it. And but we got the broken clothes pole, closet pole it was. We kept it. So we still have it, you know. We can show you sometime when you come up here. But, yeah, then after that happened, they backed off. Maybe that's because the police arrived. They backed off. And we set up our speakers. We went forward and set up our speakers. And we held our rally just like we intended to. And I spoke just like I intended. I was all bloody. You pictures show me. I was pretty bloody. But we held our rally and continued on and concluded just like we intended to.
You know, that took guts.
Yeah, in a day of internet and days of cell phones, there probably been a lot of pictures and so forth that have been circulated around the country, but that was before those things were available to us. And by the way... We're not the only ones. There was other people besides ourselves that, you know, you think go back to 1979 within Greensboro when those people... faced those communists there in Greensboro, and they were attacked, and the patriots defended themselves. As you, I'm sure you're familiar with the history of that. They defended themselves, and five communists were killed in that.
No kidding.
Melee.
I've never heard about that, Pastor. Tell us about that. Tell us about. Did you say Greensboro?
I wasn't there.
Well, tell us what you know about it. That's great.
Well, this happened in Greensboro, North Carolina. I'm not sure the date, but I remember hearing about it on the news. I was at work at a convenience store, and I remember hearing about the news. And what occurred was that the anti-Klan, well, I forget the names of, maybe Spartacus League, perhaps one of them, were holding a anti-racist rally in Greensboro, North Carolina, and some patriots, Klan members and other groups, whatever they were with, I don't know, patriots, they kind of made a drive-by, you know, waving flags, and when they did that, the communists attempted to block them in, and they actually barricaded their cars so they couldn't escape. As I understand, I wasn't there, you know. But as I said, they blocked the cars, so the four or five cars of these patriots were kind of blocked, and then they attacked them, and they opened the trunks of their car and pulled out their weapons, and they defended themselves, and five of them were killed, and they got arrested. They were found not guilty in a trial. They were even. Because it was obvious self-defense, so they found not guilty in the local trial. Then the Justice Department sued them, and they were found not guilty again. So they were found not guilty at every turn. But, of course, if you read, when you hear the history today, it has been modified and so on. they imply that Klansmen just drove up and pulled up and just started shooting people. But they're all found not guilty. And that occurred in 1979. I forget what day it was, but there, I'm sure there's people listening to this who say, oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember that happening. And but that was 1979. So, you know, there's been battles fought throughout the history of this country in defense of our liberties, in defense of our freedoms, in defense of our people and our children, our wives and our families. And so, you know, Charlottesville was an important one, but I wouldn't, in my mind, in me looking at it, I wouldn't say that it was a pivotal point, only in the fact that it became a pivotal point because they had Donald Trump in the White House who made reference to it, and they're trying to destroy Donald Trump, so they focused on, the media, the enemy, focused on Charlottesville as being the an example of what Donald Trump is going to bring to America, chaos and racial division and so on. And so it was the media, in my mind, it was the media that really pumped Charlottesville up in an effort to hurt Donald Trump.
That's a great analysis. I never thought of it that way. But I bet you're right. There's several parallels with what you said in Chicago. The people said that one protester that was friendly toward you, and he said that the police were there, but then they withdrew until after the fight started, the battle started, and then then they came back in, I suppose, to harass the Patriots. Well, that's what happened in Charlottesville. It was steroids, but I wonder if that's we don't know much about Greensboro. If that was that way, but the point, I'm glad you brought that up, because see, that's the point I wanted to make to our audience tonight. As horrific as Charlottesville was, Charlottesville is just one of many of these battles we've had. It's like you say, it's well publicized. I've heard some people say that it's a watershed event, but it's been going on for 100 years, you know, or ever since there was this country. But as far as in modern times, with these type of protests, with patriots going in and trying to exercise their First Amendment rights, their rights as free men, free white men, that's probably, I don't know, since the 30s, the 20s, the 30s, whatever. But, you know, now, Pastor, you also were before you were in Chicago, you also were in New York, correct? Excuse me, not New York, but Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C.
Tell us about that.
Washington, D.C. 1982. And there's a big poster we have here that I could, you know, it's in that book, actually, you said. That they
Correct.
Said Jason and Rachel, a big poster, Stop the KKK, Washington, D.C., November 27th. And those posters, as I was told, I don't know, were on, put up in a place far away as Philadelphia, New York, and even Detroit, and they busted thousands of protesters in Washington, D.C. On November 27th, and we held the event there. And according to one article, this is from Associated Press, because you said you'd be talking about this, so I pulled this out.
Yeah, we could go to another break, Pastor. We got one more break. Before we let you go, we'll be right back. I can't wait to hear that. People, we'll be right back with Pastor Rob talking about the Battle of Washington, D.C.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help. And thank you for joining the fight.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Abombadour Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, we are right back. And the man on right now, Pastor Thomas Robb, I will be with him once again on September the 3rd, 4th, and the 5th. Outside of Harrison, Arkansas, we're going to have a grand old time up there. Pastor, if you will, before we forget, tell us about all the festivities that we're going to have up there. Invite people if you want to. What do you want to do over Labor? That'd be Labor Day weekend, people. Once again, September the 3rd, 4th, and 5th, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Go ahead, Pastor. Tell us about that.
Yeah, real quick, this is what we call it Night's Party Congress. It's held September 3, 4, and 5 on private property outside of Harrison, Arkansas. Held at the Soldiers of the Cross Bible Camp. There's a beautiful, comfortable church building for people to gather in. Private property, private grounds, no harassment from local officials. Everybody in the area is friendly to us. The police are friendly to us. The sheriff's department is friendly to us. We've been here in this area for 40-some years. We're well entrenched into the area and have roots very deep. So we have a lot of friends in the area. And people listening to this are more than welcome to come. There's no registration fee. It's free to come. We do ask that people call me at 870-427-3414, daytime hours only. That's an office phone number. Or write to me at Post Office Box 2222, Harrison, Arkansas. That's P.O. Box 2222. That's four twos. 2222. Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and register. Let me know you're coming, because we do have meals prepared on the premises at nominal prices. We can't afford just feed people, but nominal prices. But so we'd like to know how many people are going to attend. So people are welcome to come, and this is for the family. We call it the Nice Party Leadership and Family Conference. It's a Christian retreat. Non-Christians are welcome, as long as they respect the fact that we are Christians, respect that. But this is a family event for families, and bring your wives and families. Give me a call at 870-427-3414, daytime hours, and I'll be glad to give you more information.
You know, people, I can tell you flat out, if you come, you'll have a wonderful time. It's relaxed. It's in the most beautiful part of the country. It's in the northwestern Ozark Mountains of Arkansas. It's usually a little cooler there than it is down here in the lowland swamp area where I am. The food is delicious. It's very affordable. And they even have a barracks. I call it a barracks. I love staying there. I get to see other men. We have a men's cabin, a ladies' cabin. And I've met friends there that I'll have for life. I've been up there with other co-hosts before. It's a marvelous time, and I hope that Tom Bowie makes the coffee. He makes the best coffee I've ever seen. Oh, man, that coffee was good. In fact, I was up there waiting. Each time your wife, she was the one that came in and did the cooking and making that coffee. I was ready for it, Pastor. But I would encourage everyone to come. And if you need any further details, if you send me if you send me an email, it's real simple, eddie@bloodriverradio.com. I can get you any information if you didn't have time to write it down tonight. Well, thank you so much, Pastor.
Go ahead, Pastor. You mentioned the cabins. People can't just come up here and expect we got a place in a cabin. It is limited. We can't sleep 50 people in a cabin. So do not expect to come up here and have a place in a cabin. You probably won't unless you pre-register and let us know beforehand.
I'm glad you mentioned that. That's absolutely sure. Make sure you've got mine now, because I tell you, if anybody's in my bed, I'm going to dump them out, Pastor. But anyway. But anyway, and I told Jason, if he doesn't have that cross, I'm bringing my own cross just in case. No, but anyway, it's I can't tell you how it's almost mystical, because you're with your own people. I tell you what's there. God is there. God is in that place. I can guarantee you. Anyway, Pastor, going back before we run out of time, tell us some more about Washington D.C. This is really really greatly interesting. I mean, this is a fabulous narrative we have tonight. Go ahead, Pastor.
Well, when we held our event there, it did turn into a riot. The newspaper article I'm reading from said, quote, he said police and city officials this week would try to discover what went wrong and why it went wrong in the Capitol's worst outbreak of unrest since the anti-war protests more than a decade ago. When the disturbance broke out, police were already escorting out of town the 40 Klansmen who had held a brief rally in Lafayette Park. Well, they didn't really escort us out of town. They didn't escort. You know, we left in cars, and they followed behind to ensure that we weren't attacked. But they didn't take us under their custody and escort us out of town. The Klan protested. The Klan protesting legislation that would have granted amnesty to millions of illegal aliens in the United States had planned to march to Washington for the first time since 1925. So, according to this newspaper account, which I believe is correct, this was the first event held in Washington, D.C. Held in D.C. since 1925. And we were there to protest the proposed legislation. I'm trying to remember what it was called, Mozzelli Act or something. Anyway, it was an attempt to grant amnesty to illegal aliens at the time, and we were protesting that. So, and it did turn out quite a riot. They flew Ronald Reagan out of D.C. Because of their concern about the potential of violence, which obviously did occur. So Ronald Reagan was flown out of the nation's capital because it was held right across from the White House. And so he was flown out of the capital for the weekend, and the riot ensued that night, throughout the night, into the next day before they got under control.
Wow. You know, I think I'm like you, I can't remember the name of that act, but I think Ronald Reagan, the great conservative he was, I think he signed that into law, if I'm not mistaken. I think in 1965, or was it?
It wasn't
65.
It's like 85 maybe or something.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know where my mind was, because I guess, JFK was assassinated in 63, I believe. Correct. After him, LBJ.
LBJ became president after Lyndon Johnson, after Kennedy was LBJ, and then Nixon became president after that, and then Nixon resigned, and then Spiro Agnew became Gerald Ford became president. Spiro Agnew would have become president, but he was forced to resign. So Gerald Ford became president. And after Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter became president. And then after Jimmy Carter became Ronald Reagan. And then after Ronald Reagan became George Bush the first. And then Bill Clinton. And then George Bush the second. And then Barack Obama.
You know, you mentioned Spiro Agnew. Spiro Agnew, he named the enemy. He named the Jew. And that's what got him
destroyed. He was governor of New Jersey, I think. And he made a couple of statements that were considered anti-Semitic. And he was forced to resign as vice president. And Gerald Ford then became vice president. And then he ascended to the throne after Nixon was resigned.
Yes. You know, you probably don't remember because I'm sure it's before your time, too, when Dwight David Eisenhower was president. But he...
I remember Dwight Eisenhower as president. You do, too. You're the same age as I am, so you still remember.
Well, that's before we became, at least before I became politically active. I was started running for my life in South Memphis when I was about 10, 11 years old. But he passed this legislation or some kind of an act that they passed. It's called Operation Wetback under President Eisenhower, and they rounded up all these illegal Mexicans and ushered them and got them out of Memphis, out of the United States, and got them back into Mexico. You remember that?
Yeah. You know, we could shut down this border. Of course, we could shut down this border in 24 hours, and it would not cost the taxpayers one single penny. All the president would have to do, of course, this president won't do it, of course. All the president would have to do call for a citizen's militia.
Yes, yes.
If the president of the United States would say, I'm calling for a citizen's militia to defend our border, there'd be thousands of good old boys and good old girls grabbing their weapons, grabbing their BB guns if they need be, and heading down to the border, and they could close this border down overnight without costing taxpayers one penny.
They sure could. And you know what?
There's not a will. It's not that we can't. But we don't have a will any longer. Well, when I say we, I'm talking about those who rule over us.
And you know, Pastor, they could take the Army Corps of Engineers and build that wall, especially if they used the Germans, like the World War II type Germans. They could build that wall in a year. But you know what? If we did like Sparta, and where every man was a block in a wall, the soldiers, you know, the Spartan soldiers, we had the citizens' militia, like you're talking about. We wouldn't need a wall because we would be patrolling that border. And also, here's what I would do: I would arrest these employers and hire these illegals. I would have at minimum 5 to 10 years hard labor. That would get in that if they couldn't hire them, that would end that overnight. You're absolutely right, but the will's not there. But we're about to run out of time for the first hour, Pastor. I didn't mean to go off that rabbit trail about Washington D.C., but before we go.
You got Paul Fromm. You got Paul Fromm. He's on there. And Paul is an amazing person with a great insight, and he's going to be able to carry you for the next hour without any issue or problems at all. So I'm not abandoning the ship. I'm turning over to a better man, and Paul Fromm is fantastic.
Well, I was just going to say, if you have any closing, do you have any closing remarks before we go? We've transitioned to the second hour that we'll break, Paul. Would you like to make any closing remarks?
My closing remarks would be, and I'm going to sound like a preacher now, but my closing remarks is simply this, is we can't lose faith. You know, we can't lose faith. I believe that we are God's people in an hour in which God calls forth real men and real women to defend the nation. And we just can't lose faith. No matter what happens, we've got to move forward because God will deliver us. Throughout Scripture, whenever God's people always went into sin, and every time they went into sin, God always sent a messenger warning them of their sin and telling them to repent. And every single time in Scripture, the people eventually repented, and every single time, God delivered them. We will be delivered from this dilemma.
Yes, you know, and that reminds me, but what happened when they didn't repent?
They eventually repented. They might have gone through judgment, but they eventually repented. When my judgment's in the land, the inhabitants of the earth will learn righteousness, says in Jeremiah.
Well, you know, a lot of these... Well, I was going to say a lot of the Israelites that left Pharaoh's land of Egypt, when they left that, a bunch of them had to pay the ultimate price because they would not obey God. But, Pastor, what a great, great time I've had with you. You have a good time off. We'll get you back on as soon as we can, hopefully. Oh, people, tell Jason, everybody up there, I said hi. People, we're getting ready to go to a break, an hour break. It's going to be kind of a long break. If you need to get a drink, go to the bathroom, go ahead. And we're going to transition to the second hour. We're going to bring on Paul Fromm. Be right back, folks.